a series several weeks ago called Seven Foundations of a Healthy Marriage, and really healthy marriage and family. And it's so important that we talk about these things in the days that we live in, because the Bible talks about it all throughout Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about the day that we live in, which is now, that good would be considered evil and evil would be considered good. And the Bible even says that those who stand up for righteousness would be persecuted and prosecuted and even executed. Are you with me? And we live in these days. We live in these days right now. We really live in perilous times. And unfortunately, much of the church is unaware of it. Because the church is... Church in general is so discipled by the world and the culture, and that they don't know. They actually, the church gets offended when we say truths from the scripture. Believers get mad. And so when I talk about things like marriage and family, when I talk about sexuality, of course I have to walk real carefully. And I understand that many believers don't read their Bible, and they don't understand what God says. They don't have a foundation of truth. And so many people, unfortunately, get very offended about things that are in the scriptures. And so today may be one of those days. So I got to give you a warning. But how many of you know that God loves his creation? And he sent an instruction manual to show us how life is supposed to be. And we've gotten so far off track from the way that God designed things. And so as believers, y'all, I hope I'm talking to the right church here, that as believers, we have to let the Word of God be our anchor, our truth, our pillar of truth. And the whole purpose that you and I are alive and not in heaven is because we are those personal representatives of truth. And so today, as I begin to share, last week we used the cuss word that started with B. Today I'm going to use one that starts with S. Come on, somebody. We're going to talk about roles and responsibilities in marriage. Are y'all ready? All right. Did I already do the faith confession? I did that, right? Put my diagram up here just so we can see where I'm going. And again, I hate to rush through these things, so if I don't finish everything, I got quite a bit to cover today. As you know, this is our diagram, and we're talking about building the family. I pray, and let me just say it like this. When we don't have a genuine relationship with God, when we have a relationship with principles of God versus a relationship with Jesus, it's easy to live a lifestyle that is not congruent with the Word, that's not in sync with the Word. Are you with me? This whole Christianity is not about just adhering to laws and rules. It is a personal relationship with Jesus. And although you can be born again, Jesus can be your Savior, there are many believers where Jesus is not their Lord. They don't submit every area of their life to him. They've gotten born again, but they can still live in sin. They can still have areas of their life that are not submitted to the will of God. Are you with me? And I won't start calling those types of things out, but you know what I'm talking about. They can, and just kind of go along with how the world does things. But if you have a genuine relationship with Jesus, that won't happen. It will bother you. It will bother you. And so I'm going to show you in the scriptures today just some real truths about roles and responsibilities and some things we've got to understand. But as you know, we've been talking about building the house of God, and it starts with building our home. The first institution that God made was not the church. The first institution that God made was the marriage and the family. Made that, amen? And so we started, first week talking about security and trust. If you don't have security and a trust in a relationship or in a church or in a marriage or family, you don't have one. It has to be built on security and trust. We talked about communication. We talked about you're going to have to learn to forgive and be forgiven. Then last couple of weeks, we talked about finances. Today, we're going to talk about roles and responsibilities. Amen. Turn over in your Bible. First of all, let's look at these. You know what? That's all right. Skip those foundation verses. Y'all remember it. If God doesn't build the house, it's going to crumble. Jesus said, although you hear my word, it's not enough. You have to hear the word in Matthew chapter 7 and build your life on it. You build your house on the word. Do y'all get this? Everybody, give me your attention for a second. I need everybody to hear me on this. The world that we live in is going to throw you some stuff, some challenges. And if your life, your marriage, your home, raising your children, if it isn't built on the word, I'm telling you, you're going to have major, major, major problems. Major problems. Are y'all with me? Do like this if y'all understand what I'm saying right there. Amen. Now, we all know that, but what true Christianity is although I know it, I'm going to submit my life to it even if I don't like it. Even if it doesn't feel good, I'm going to deny what I want and do what God wants, because ultimately that's what's going to be best for my life and give God glory. This is not the end, y'all. The 70, 80, 90, 120 years that you live on earth, there's a life after this. Are you with me? Amen. All right, so this is what that diagram is about. God has to build the house. And if the Lord doesn't build the house, they that labor, labor in vain that build it. They'll stay up all night trying to do things right. And God says, if you just do it my way, I'll build it for you. I'll do it. Build it on these principles. Anybody glad about that? Amen. Now, turn over in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Amplified Bible. We'll put it up here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Amplified Bible. Yes. Make some noise for him in the back. Thank y'all for your help back there. Okay, y'all ain't making no noise today. What's wrong? All right, look at this, y'all. Watch what Peter writes here. He says, in the same way, now, because, and we're going to read it, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes to women in the first 6 verses, and then he writes to men in this 7th verse about marriage. And look what he says, in the same way. That's why he says in the same way, because he just finished talking to married women. He says, in the same way, you married men should live considerately, and we're going to get to the women. We're going to get to all that. I just wanted to make this point here. Men should live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you, both of you in marriage, are joint heirs of the grace, God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively. What Peter's saying here, if you don't have a proper understanding of the marriage covenant, if you don't know what it's all about and how it works, it's going to affect you spiritually. If you don't understand what this whole thing is about, there's no way you can walk in proper roles, be secure, and all the other things that we've talked about. They come with understanding what marriage is all about. And so let's lay that foundation today. Let's make sure that we get the understanding, because marriage is from a scriptural standpoint, may be very different than what many people think it is. Amen? All right, so let's jump on over. Let's go in the very beginning, Genesis, the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. We see when God created man, what he had in mind for mankind and family. We see it right here. Are y'all there? Come on, how many of y'all love to learn the scriptures? Uh-oh, just about 3 of y'all. How about the rest of y'all? Come on. Amen. Watch this. God creating, y'all remember in all the earlier verses, God created the planets, all the stuff in the planets, all the animals, all the trees, all that stuff. And on the 6th day, he creates his pinnacle of creation in his image and his likeness, mankind. Watch what he says. Then God said, let us make man in our image. We're made in the image of God. According to our likeness, we're made in the likeness of God. And let them have dominion. In the New Testament, that word is reign. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Say, God's given me dominion over creeps. All right, watch this. So God created man in his own image, the imago Dei. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Long story, not going to get to that today. Then God did what? Bless them, barak them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here we see that God's intention for mankind was to be made in his likeness and his character, his attributes, and gave him dominion over the earth. Notice that God didn't say, let us have dominion over the earth. He said, let them have dominion over the earth. Do you realize that you and I have more dominion in the earth than God? Hold on, do y'all get that? He gave dominion over the earth to us. He put us in charge of the earth. So this is why God wanted man to be after his likeness and to create a family. And when Jesus prayed, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Psalms, it talks about God made the heavens and the earth and the fullness is his, the heavens are his, but the earth belongs to man. In other words, it's God's earth, but he's given dominion and authority in earth to mankind. So God wanted his representatives in his likeness and character to reign and rule in the earth with his authority and his rulership. Man fell, and Satan grabbed a hold of that. Are you with me? So God came back and got a man named Abraham and said, I need to make a covenant with you. Y'all remember he cleaned the whole earth, got rid of him, only Noah left in the ark. But then he had to make a covenant with a man because his original man failed. But God's whole intention with man and he showed it with Abraham. Let me show you. Let's cover this first thing. The first thing was to cover the earth, fill the earth, to procreate. Marriage and family was to procreate God's image and glory in the earth through man. Are you with me? So this lets you know, and here again, when I say something like this, don't take offense. God loves every person, but there's ways to do things. This is why male and female were to come together and procreate. All right? Are y'all hearing me? That's no hate against anyone. I'm just telling you the truth so you know what's right. There is no such thing as a homosexual or gay marriage. There is no such thing. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Come on, somebody. Now, did y'all hear what I'm saying right there? I'm not putting anyone down or saying, I'm just telling you what the truth is. I hear people say, and people will say things to me like, love wins. No, love and truth wins. Not just love wins. Come on, somebody. It's love and truth wins. The world says don't discipline your, you don't love your kids if you whoop them. The Bible says if you don't whoop them, you don't love them. Now see, I already offended some people already right there. But love must come with some truth, grace and truth. Are y'all with me? Everybody all right? Can I turn my back up here and look at the screen without getting stabbed? Okay, just checking. So God's first intention was for man to fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all the stuff in the earth, but not each other. Notice he didn't put men in dominion of men right there, all right? Y'all see that? So that's the first thing. And then with I told you they fell, so God tells us in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, with his covenanted man, Abraham, right? What he says, why did he choose Abraham? Here it is. Here's why, because it's the same reason he chose you and I and actually created man. For I have chosen him so that he will do what? Direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. So God says, I want you to procreate, but raise your children in a household of God. They must be trained in the ways of God. They must be raised to recognize and humble themselves before the Lord. If you don't teach them what's right and wrong, if mom and dad aren't in the house to train them, things can go very wrong. All right, so stick with me. Anybody offended and mad yet? Okay, let me keep going then. Because I know it's coming, and that's not my intention, but the more truth comes out, the more people get offended at these types of things. But it is incumbent upon us as the people of God to know the truth and make the decision whether or not we're going to live by it. Come on, somebody. All right, so number one, y'all see it, that for procreation and to raise and rear our children in the ways of God. Number two, why did God create family? Why, we got to understand the purpose of it, is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, New Testament. Let's look at this. The Bible says something very interesting here. It says that marriage is a mystery. Here it is. Let's read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 starts out in verse 1 talking about sexual sin. Ephesians 5 starts out talking about sexual sin, fornication, adultery, all this stuff. In the first few verses, first 16 or so verses, starts talking about sexual sin. Why does it talk about that? Because sex is for married people. It is a gift for marriage. Okay, warning, this is a point of offense for many believers. Sex is for married couples. It is for the marriage bed, for procreation and enjoyment. It's a gift for marriage. Are you with me? And marriage is the union of two. Ooh, we're going to get to it. Watch this. So watch this. Beginning at verse 28. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves. Hold up. Back up again, y'all. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. He who loves his wife loves himself. Next. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but does what with it? Nourishes and cherishes his own flesh, just as the Lord does the church. Okay? For we, church, are members of his body and his flesh, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man, and he quotes here in Genesis, quotes Genesis, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, unioned with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a what? Great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I need to do a whole session just on this verse to explain this in great detail. I don't have that time today because I want to cover an overview several things. But let me say that what God is letting us know here, and why Paul went all the way to Genesis, that marriage is more than meets the eye. Marriage is a great mystery, and it has to do with Christ being married to his church. Now, what that means is, what that means is, whenever in the Bible you see a husband and then you see a wife, it is a picture of Christ in the church. When you see Boaz and Ruth, you see a picture of Christ in the church. When you see the Song of Solomon, it's talking about this groom and a bride. It's talking about Christ and the church. There's in Deuteronomy chapter 5, there's a whole law of jealousy. There's this law of jealousy. Some of the most peculiar scripture in the Bible, Numbers chapter 5, and it talks about how this husband can have this suspicion about his wife cheating, and he can take her to the temple, and what the priests will do is set her in front of set her up before the elders, and they scoop up some dirt off the floor and put it in a cup. It's called the bitter cup. And if she has cheated on her husband, that the priest makes, they make her drink it, and if she has cheated, her thigh will rot and she'll never be able to conceive children. The interesting thing is that she can't have that same suspicion about her husband. And that always bothered me when I read it. You know, when you read through that, it's like, well, that's not fair. It's typically men that cheat anyway. But it is a picture of Christ and the church. When she drinks the bitter cup and she's been faithful to her husband, she'll be able to conceive and produce children. No rottenness, nothing will happen. And what it is a picture of Christ and the church. There's never a question about Christ not being faithful to us. The question is, when we drink the bitter cup of life, will we stay faithful to him? All of us get bitter cups in life. Come on, are y'all listening to me? All of us have tasted things in life that weren't fair. For many of us, we said, you know what, forget this thing. I'm not serving the Lord anymore. That didn't work out for me. So-and-so had this disease. Something happened, and I don't believe that anymore. The whole thing is about this mystery of Christ. And so what he's talking about here is Christ is married to his church, and if a husband will recognize that he is to copy that pattern and his wife is to copy the pattern of the church, that God will work through their marriage miraculous fruit, miraculous production in their family. This is why there is such a great demonic attack against the family. Not just because of the world wants to do stuff their own way, because the devil knows this is more than just what meets the eye. This is a picture of Christ and the body and the union to him, to Christ. This relationship that God wants with you and I personally is a marriage. And so when the world defiles that union, when we take on as the church the world's ways of just shacking up and just living together and all these types of things, and please don't take offense to this, and just sex outside of marriage and having and producing children outside of wedlock, it is a slam against God's institution of marriage. And it produces all types of mess and drama in lives of children. So what you have is children being raised up not understanding the admonition of the Lord. They don't see that dad loves mom like Christ loves the church. They don't see that mom submits and honors and yields to her husband and God working through that family. I encourage every couple, please hear me and hear the heart of your pastor. Please hear the heart of your pastor. I'm not putting anyone down. We've all made mistakes. But as a believer, don't get stuck in it. Don't get stuck in it. God has a greater, superior life for you, and marriage is a significant part of that. Are y'all with me? It is a significant part. And so when we sell it short, we cut off the blessing of God in our marriage. All right, that's all I'm going to go about that. All right, this, I can speak of Christ's concerns. Again, we could go through the whole Bible and talk about the husband and wife stuff in the Bible. But just know that's what he's talking about. All right? All right, so marriage is a great mystery. Now, watch this with Adam. Let's just take a look at this. Good God, I'm not going too good. I'm not making enough space here with the notes that I've got. But if we look back in Genesis and just take a look at Adam, we see this mystery. We see this mystery. When God created Adam, do y'all know that male and female were in Adam? Male and female were in Adam. And God walked with Adam. They had a relationship. God had a relationship. He created the garden. He created everything. Then he took the man and put him in the garden. And Adam began naming all the animals, all the insects. And the Bible says that God would create it and that would bring it to him to see what Adam would call it. It was a partnership. It was a friendship. It was a union with Adam and God. That's the picture of a husband. This union with God. This walking with God. Are you with me? And so he's naming all the animals. God's bringing him all the animals. And then God says, not Adam, God says, it's not good that man be all alone. It's not good that man should be alone. All right? Adam wasn't lonely. He was alone. Are you with me? He didn't see a need for anything else. God saw a need. All right? So, of course, y'all remember what happened. He put him to sleep, took from his side a rib, and the Bible says from the rib he formed the woman. I always had the impression that he kind of put it in the dirt and mixed dirt with it. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that he took from the man's side a rib and formed the woman from that rib. She was an upgraded version of the man. Are you with me? And presented her to Adam and said, you remember Adam said, whoa, this is woman, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father. He didn't even have a mother and father. He didn't even have a mother and father. This lets us know it's for us. He did not have a mother and father, but still, he started prophesying and saying, leave your mama and father for this. In fact, the Bible doesn't mention any more of him naming animals. The naming animal business stopped after Eve came. He started tending to the garden after that. Every animal would have been named the same after Eve got there. He lost all focus. Come on, somebody to add. Thank you, Shaw. Amen. Animal naming business is over now. We got this girl right here. This is, whoa, man. Amen. All right. So y'all remember God put him to sleep and built the woman. Y'all got the story, right? And then they worked together, so on and so forth. Y'all know the whole story with Eve and all that. But I just want to show you this point. Jesus, remember, there was no one in the earth like Adam. Here comes Jesus. Well, first of all, God and Jesus, the triune being, are in heaven, right? With God, just like Adam and Eve. I mean, Adam and God. But God sends man to earth, and he begins walking the earth doing the works of God, just like Adam did with just God, right? But then there was no one there like him. He was alone in the earth. So what does he do? He goes to the cross and sleeps for 3 days. They pierce his side, and comes forth blood and water, the church. When he wakes, now he has a whole new church, a bride. It's the same thing. It's the same picture. The most two important men in history on the planet of the earth are Adam and Jesus. Are y'all with me? And we explained this some on Wednesday. But it's a picture. It's a picture of Christ now being married to the church, like Adam was married to Eve and that union with God. It was a three-chord strand, though. And what's going to make your walk in life amazing is that you don't seek after principles, but you seek after Jesus. A walk with him, a true walk with him. Now watch, y'all. Many believers have no idea what I'm talking about right here. And this is why they're like this. This is why they don't love coming to church. This is why they don't love hearing the Bible. Because they don't have real relationship. Born again, on their way to heaven. Come on, somebody. You know how you can have a child in your house but not have a relationship with him. Or you can have a child. And that's... they know Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. When he's Lord, you're married to him. You're married to him. And if you have a good marriage, you know what that means. It is ongoing communication. You're always trying to please each other. Yes, we're human. We'll make mistakes. But with God, with a real relationship with Jesus, it is a tight, tight union. You just won't live in sin. You can't do it. Not with a real relationship with Jesus. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. And that's what we as believers have to get to. This real relationship. Not a relationship with church. Not a relationship with principles. Not a relationship. You get what I'm saying? A relationship with Jesus. Oh. Amen, amen, amen. All right, all right. Y'all get that? So that's the purpose of marriage, is to reflect Christ and the church and to teach us as people to have this same type of relationship with Jesus so he can bear fruit in our lives. Bear fruit, the fruit of prosperity, the fruit of health, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace. It's all in John chapter 15 and 17. It talks about these types of things, all right? Jesus talked about it. All right, let's move forward. Let's move forward. Let's go down, go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's begin. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. We may be all right. I think we're going to be all right. Yes, and if we're not, we'll just pick up where we left off here this week and go next week. Are y'all with me? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, here's where you find the roles. Now, if you don't understand the purpose of marriage, there's no way you'll understand these roles. You understand that Christ is one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says that Jesus submits to the Father. They're equal and the same. But there must be this submission for things to happen on earth. Are y'all listening to me? For things to happen in earth, there must be a submission. In heaven, they're seated at the throne. But on earth, Jesus had to submit to the Father. In earth, there must be a principle of submission. And submission just simply means yielding to someone's authority. All right? All right, that's all it means. I know, that's that cuss word that starts with an S in the church. And I understand why. Please hear me. I understand that those words mean because of our past, and so many of us have different pasts, that you may have gone to a real religious type of church where they stood up and put women down and beat down on women, and women were these, you know, subservient creatures that couldn't do anything, couldn't say anything, and were abused. That's not what true submission is, or Jesus wouldn't be submitted to the Father. Are y'all with me? That's not what it is. Submission is, in the earth, there has to be this divine order. Has to be order in the earth. And that's how God said it. Are y'all with me? Now, I know many of the church will just say, oh, well, you know, and especially in the environment that we live in today, ERA and equal, and you get it. If I were a woman, I would want it God's way. Because God's way is going to be better for me. Do we as a church want to be telling Jesus what to do? Well, that's what many do. God, here's what it is. Here's what I want you to bless. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. And God, bless my stuff. That's not going to work. Is this too strong? Should I preserve this for Wednesday when there's just a few of y'all here and the rest of y'all could care less about it? No, I know you work. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing out there. But do y'all hear what I'm saying? In the earth, God has to have order and divine order. All right, all right. Okay, here's the first verse in Ephesians when it starts talking about marriage and family. The first verse is, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there is this mutual submission in marriage. I got to tell y'all, and Shanae's in children's ministry today, but we have such a blessed marriage. We have such a blessed marriage. Yesterday, she came home from the thing, and we were from the girl time meeting, and then later on that evening, we just hang out at the house, and just in the closet. She was in her closet doing something. I walked in, I said, girl, I love you. I adore you. And we began to just hold each other. It felt like an hour. A good hour, you get what I'm saying? And just weep and cry and just thank God. Thank God for each other. Thank God for our kids. Thank God for our home. Thank God for being in our life. Where would we be? Where would our life be if we didn't have him in the middle of us? I mean, I still can feel that. Are y'all with me? God has a greater life, and it begins with submitting to each other. In other words, even though I am the head in my house. You get what I mean? I'm head because I'm submitted to Christ. And we'll get through these scriptures. But I never just make a decision without consulting her. And the Bible says that God doesn't do anything without first talking with his prophets. He doesn't do things in the earth. There's a divine order. Are y'all with me? So Shanae and I talk about everything. We haven't done everything right over the years. Y'all know that. But our marriage is at a level that I never dreamed it would get at. Are y'all with me? I'm truly in love. I adore her. I love her. I love her. Are y'all with me? But wives, now watch. Here's the next verse. Are y'all ready? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. That sounds strong. Why is he saying that? Because this whole thing is about Christ in the church. And so the center point is Christ. The Bible doesn't say, back up to that verse for me if you would, please. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. It doesn't say that. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. The Lord is always the center of this whole thing. And this is why single people, it's so important that you marry right. The greatest decision next to being born again is marriage. You've got to marry wisely and marry with Christ, his consulting and his wisdom. We went over that earlier in the spring. We went over all those passages, but you've got to understand, this is why, because to have divine order in your house, you've got to be willing to yield and submit to a husband in your house. If you're married, are you with me? Although you're equals. Are you with me? You're equals. The Bible doesn't say one is superior to the other. It just says, no, there has to be divine order in the house. Right. Are y'all with me? So in no way does submission in any way imply that someone is superior to the other. Christ is not superior to God, and God's not superior to Christ. Are y'all with me? But there has to be a divine order in the earth. Are y'all with me? So wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Amen? Right? Now, this, also in this passage, is the number one need in marriage for husbands is respect and honor. What God is doing here in just this passage is showing us, here's what's going to make your husband more like me. What's going to make your husband, because he's, first of all, you're going to marry someone in the Lord. You're not just going to do it the world's way. Come on, somebody. I need some help up here today because I feel y'all going. And I'm not picking on any person. I don't know your business. I try to stay out of everybody's business. so I can preach this word without any kind of respect to anybody. Just, you get what I'm saying? No. I just want to preach the truth in love. You get what I'm saying? And many oftentimes we get caught up in stuff, but I'm just telling you, God has a divine order, and he wants us to, as believers, to submit to that so that he can flow through our lives. Amen. All right? So the number one need of a male is this respect and honor. And can I tell you, this is one of the greatest things about my wife. And she spoke life into me. She does it all the time. She encourages me. And this, I don't know if whether y'all believe this or not or know this, but this is a very hard job. This is a very hard job, particularly in the day that we live in. Particularly in the day we live in, because everybody, I don't care what he said. You get what I'm saying? We didn't charge you at the door. You got to trust God to do this. Are you with me? Amen. And it's a very, 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 very difficult job. I have pastor friends. It is a very, very hard job. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. You got to be called to do this, or this job will kill you. You got to be called to do this. Trust me when I say that. All right? All right. Y'all made me lose focus now, and I got to hurry up. All right, so the number one need of a man is this respect and honor. That's what's going to bring out the best in him. He has to be built up. He has to be built up by that wife. Are you with me? She has to build him up. That's what holds up the head. That body is what holds up the head. It's what lets the head sit high. But if a wife doesn't build him up, he will always be a mess, or look for someone else to build him up. Well, you ain't nothing. I make more money than you. I don't. All that kind of stuff will cause your husband to leave. Are y'all listening to me? It's what a husband needs. He needs this built, this honor and this respect. This is number one need, and that's why the Holy Spirit has it here in the scriptures. All right? Men bond through respect. Men bond through respect. We're not going to get through all these notes. I'm going to be in here shortly. We have to finish talking about husbands. All right, but men bond with respect. Men bond, like other pastors that, because I know how hard this is, I have an automatic respect for someone when I see them doing this successfully for a number of years. I have a respect for them, and I can honor that. I honor that. We men, you know, when men come up to each other, they usually don't ask a bunch about their kids and wife. They want to know what they do. We get our identity in that, and we gain respect and honor by doing what we do oftentimes. Are you with me? And people know that. I respect men that do their business and successful at it, because I know how hard it is. It's very difficult. Are you with me? And that's where we bond. And men bond. There are soldiers that gone to war. Those men can, you know, if they've gone to war and they haven't seen him for years, 20, 30 years, they get together and there's an immediate bond. And why? Because they respect each other for what they've done. Men bond with respect. I'm not going to be reading, you know what I'm saying? Pastor Joe better not send me a little card that says, hey, just thinking about you. That doesn't work for me. He would never do that. And I wouldn't send him a card. Hey, just thinking about you, Brother Joe. Praise the Lord. How you doing? That don't work for me. Greeting cards are not my thing. Women like that. Women talk and all that kind of stuff. But, we're going to cut to the chase pretty much. That's not how men get down. Are y'all with me? We bond through respect. Come on, somebody. So when you disrespect a man, you've lost connection with him. He's not going to bond with you. Are y'all hearing me, sister? Your man needs to be built up. You need to know, and particularly a man, and if you select it right, you're going to select a man that you don't have to push out of bed to go to work. Since I ain't going that much further in my notes, I might as well just break this down a little bit. And any woman that's got to drag a man around, come on, you got to go to work, come on. That's not what I'm talking about. That starts at home. And we're getting to that in a couple weeks. That starts at home. Don't let your kids lay around and do nothing, because when they're grown, they'll think that's normal. Am I fussing? I don't mean to be fussing. Good gracious Jesus. Let's move on here. I'm safer back here. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. These are the verses that I was going to read, and this is all we're going to do right here, all right? This is all we're going to do. We're not going to get much further. Oh, maybe one other verse, but I'm not going to get to the women, okay? I'm just going to show you how important this respect and this submission. What God's talking about is this giving honor and respect. Men need that. Amen. Say amen, men. Y'all sitting there looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You get what I'm saying? And so when women get in your face and put you down, that is a very bad thing. That's not going to work for a brother. It's like, you just signed off. I'm done. You get what I'm saying? Amen. Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read through 6, amplified. In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. What does that mean? Subordinate yourself as being secondary and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them. All right, now watch. Already I can hear it's showing us this divine order. At work, even though your boss is not better than you, you still have to have a certain respect. And yes, sir, I wish we could go back to those days of yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and just honor and respect and politeness. And you know what I'm saying? You ain't the boss of me. Well, actually, they are the boss of you. Out of your life, of that place where they are, there has to be some order there. And so the Bible is saying, subordinate yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Come on, y'all. We've got to get off our high horse. And I'll tell you one of the things that most attracted me to Shanae early on. She had a respect for me when we met. And it was a respect. She always built me up with nice words. Good God, Jesus. Here we are nearly 25 years later. And she hasn't changed. It was a part of her makeup. It's who she is. Are y'all with me? She ain't gonna bust in the room and start trying to take over. Well, in staff meetings and stuff like that, she takes over. But she's a real boss. But when it comes to, if y'all go out to dinner and sit with her, you see that she's this very meek and humble person. I mean, somebody was live FaceTiming at the girl time thing yesterday, and I saw her, and I was like, yeah, there she goes. She's a preacher. I'm a teacher. She's going, you know, that's amen. But at home, she's this very meek, quiet, you know what I mean? Very meek, quiet, submissive type of person. Are you with me? And she always builds me up, always. Now, she'll correct me in a heartbeat in love. Natalie, that wasn't right. Yes, ma'am. What? I want to hear. Are you with me? Because she respects me. And I know she's only going to tell me things for my good. Are you with me? Y'all see this? And we have to be that way with the Lord. And that's what he's saying. The same way with the Lord, be that way with your spouse. You're going to bring out the Lord in him. You're going to bring out good things. Now you say, well, pastor, if I did that, well, you must have married a knucklehead. You must have made a bad decision at the car lot. That's where most marriage mistakes are made, in the selection process. That's why we covered that earlier. Come on, somebody. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Oh, y'all going to be funny with me? I got the clothes anyway. Let me get through these verses. So he says, live in such a way so even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. You really live this. Even an ungodly man wants to get you in a place where you don't want to be, you don't just go there. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. I knew it was going to be tough, y'all, but I didn't know it was going to be this tough. Watch this. Together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him. Here's what that reverence, that submission means. It's called reverence. Feel for him all that reverence includes. Here it is. To respect, to defer to, revere him, to honor, to esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Some of y'all right there, just let you know, I ain't getting married. I that ain't for me. Okay, now I get it. Yeah, I thought I just wanted some sex. That part I don't like. I can't be real with y'all. This is in children's church. That's what many people do. They want a part of it, but they don't want the whole thing, and then can't figure out why a year later why they're falling apart. If you got to chase a man down to try to marry him, he's the wrong one. Lose him, boo. Drop him. Oh, y'all ain't going to put your hands together and clap, but I'm telling y'all truth. I'm telling you truth. If you got to start paying a man's bills to get him, he's the wrong one. Lose him. I'm saving you years of problems right here. Say, we love you, Pastor. Hurry up and close. We can't take too much more of this. All right, I got you. Let not yours be merely of external adorning. He says, don't just let your beauty be external, ladies. He has to see an inner beauty. He has to see an inner beauty. Watch this. Let not yours be merely the external adorning with elaborate interweaving. Y'all know, you know that's for black people right there. Weaving of the hair and knotting of the hair and weaving of jewelry and changes of clothes. He said, don't just let your beauty be, do you hear what Peter's writing? Don't just let your beauty be inward, outward. Let it be inward. Watch. But let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit. Come on, somebody. Which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. Almost there. For it is thus that the pious women of old who hoped in God were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. Last verse. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority, and you are now her true daughters if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to the hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you. We're going to have to stop right there. I'm going to stop right here, but I want to pick up here next week. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying? I know this sounds really harsh, but I'm showing you how Christ wants to work through your marriage, but this is the method that it works. Are you with me? And I'll explain all that about Sarah, because it looked like Sarah could have been put in a bad situation because Abraham lied on her, but God wouldn't let it happen because she was submissive. Now, because she followed divine order, God was able to work through her life. When we take matters in our own hand and do it our way, God says, you just cut off that divine order. I can't work through that process now. Are y'all listening to me in this place? Close your Bibles.